From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. One of your favorites, Jay Tate, is going to join us in a few minutes. Talk a lot of softball, something that normally we wouldn't think we were going to say. However, as we mentioned, we didn't know the verdict on Sunday when we recorded yesterday's show. We do now, however. Ole Miss hosting a regional in softball in Oxford Friday night, 8:30 against Southern Illinois. That's Salukis, right? Yeah, that's the Salukis.
Yes.
Then North Carolina, Arizona State. Arizona State, a pretty big name in women's softball over the years. Both those also in the tournament. They're the 2 and 3 seeds, so Ole Miss will see one of those on Saturday, trying to advance to face, well, at least UCLA's regional. The Bruins are on the opposite side of the bracket, with one of those 8 teams going to the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. So talk to Jay about that. As we mentioned, Jay was one of the first people to cover softball to the extent as he did, so we ask him why and get some thoughts on that as we move forward. That and more on today's show, brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. PlentyCard, PLENTI.com. Get that. Also get the ribs, get the lunch specials, $4.99, or go next door to Oxford Crystal where you get the mix and match 5 for $5, now including the country fried steak, now including the fried chicken crystal as well. So mix and match that there at the Oxford Crystal, and coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's all you have to do. Then it's up to you. You can get your quote, and you can shop it around and spend days or weeks looking for a better deal, or you can take our word for it and take the word of customers who have let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience from Missouri to Biloxi, from Georgia to Shreveport. People have taken advantage of this deal with Corey. And you can make the deal even better. At the very end of your deal, after you've worked out all the terms, say, "Hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. It's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Ole Miss baseball is at Arkansas State tonight, last midweek game of the season. Need to win it because Arkansas State's RPI, not very good, 188 currently. So a game that Ole Miss needs to win. It's on the road, so that does help RPI from that standpoint. And then Ole Miss and Auburn Thursday to Saturday on the Plains to close out the regular season.
Are the big games.
Yeah, of course. Get two of those and everything else probably takes care of itself. Headed to Hoover where Ole Miss can be no worse than the 10 seed. I guess they feasibly could get to the 5 or 6, but it looks like 7 through 10 for Ole Miss. And in Hoover next week.
Who's the pool of teams that'll be 7 through 10?
Auburn, A&M maybe, Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to play South Carolina. I would not want to play Vanderbilt.
Well, you just don't want to play them because they have too much pitching. Like, they're just going to throw some prospect out
there.
They're
going to throw some kid out there who hadn't pitched in 2 months, and he's going to be like 97.
Yeah.
97. 89 slider. 96. Where you go, what the?
Yeah. That is my favorite SEC tournament tradition, is Vanderbilt will get into like the Saturday when everybody goes, "Oh, they're depleted with pitching." And there's this freshman over here, and it's just 97 on the black, first pitch. You go, "Who the hell is that?"
And if he gets behind, he just throws it right down the middle and says, "Hit it, it's a huge park."
There's a lot of that. It's a big park. Plays big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, you don't walk anybody. You got a chance to win at that thing. Don't walk people.
No, it's Omaha light. It doesn't have the wind the College World Series has to keep balls in, but otherwise it's the same thing. Outfielders can play fairly shallow. It takes away hits that are bloopers. Play some defense, win some games, move some runners. That's how you win in the SEC tournament. Men's golf with a really nice day yesterday. They were in Austin, Texas for the regional. Texas on its home course, shot 7 under as a team to lead the field. Ole Miss in second place at 2 under. So they've got a good cushion. Oklahoma State, who is ranked number 3 in the nation, they're 3 over or 2 over somewhere in there. And Ole Miss is 7 or 8 shots clear of fifth place, which is the important thing. There are 6 regionals in the country. The top 5 at each regional will advance to a 30-team national championship in Illinois. So Ole Miss just needs to finish top 5. They're in 2nd right now. There are 36 holes to go. So Ole Miss in pretty good shape after day 1 to advance to Illinois. When they get to the national championships, 30 teams play 54 holes. And then after 54 holes, they cut it to 8 teams who then will play match play for the national title. So that's your format for men's golf. But Chris Malloy, Kyle Ellis, and those guys, pretty good after day 1. Ben Walcott and Braden Thornberry, 2 of Ole Miss's team members, are tied for 2nd place in the individual competition. They are a couple shots back of Scotty Scheffler of Texas. So that's kind of where that is. We will probably have Chris or Kyle on the podcast at the end of the week after they complete the tournament and not to jinx them, but probably advance to the national title, barring something crazy. You notice quickly where there's a good drop-off. Now, there's like 6-7 teams that are sort of kind of in it, and then it's a lot of automatic bid teams that fell off the cliff after that are having much, much higher scores. So it's kind of where that is. Anyway, news from baseball yesterday. I'll have a pretty big Dallas Wolfolk story. Talked to some different people on him probably tomorrow morning on that. They were sitting Colby Bortles out at practice yesterday. They said he can go, but they're just being precautionary, not making him do anything that he doesn't need to do. Colby probably does not need to take a ton of ground balls yesterday. He probably has it figured out by this point. I doubt that one day of practice is going to change anything.
Going to be fine.
They said he can play, but better off to not make him chance it out there. Tim Rose had a bit of a hamstring issue. Wasn't able to run on Sunday. He also, day-to-day, we'll see how it goes. Greer Holston starting for Ole Miss tonight as well. The freshman from Long Beach, Mississippi, that transferred to IMG Academy.
What time are you leaving for Jonesboro?
I've only made that trip one time. I am not making it today. Nice people, good park. No thanks. The worst pizza I've ever had. They catered it in from some local place in Jonesboro.
Bad.
God awful.
And that says something because...
I mean, bad pizza is still pizza. Let's not go crazy. But it was awful.
No, bad pizza is bad pizza.
You think so?
Yeah.
Cause you think even bad pizza is not edible?
Once you have good pizza, like once you have like really good pizza, bad pizza suddenly becomes just no longer edible. I won't name the franchise, the chain, but there is one chain of pizza that is all over the country, Oxford included, that to me is no longer edible. Just not edible.
Really?
Yes. Thank God my kids have gotten to a point where that's no longer the pizza of choice, like for parties and such.
I can't do the Little Caesars hot and ready because it's been under a lamp.
I wasn't going to name names.
Oh, is that what you're talking about, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. I mean, it's $5. What are you expecting?
No, I know. I'm not complaining.
For $5, it's fine pizza.
I just can't eat it.
See, anything Domino's that's not thin crust is what bothers me. The pan or hand tossed or whatever, yeah. Domino's is my thing.
The underrated chain pizza is Pizza Hut thin crust.
Oh yeah, it's fine.
Underrated, in fact.
It's fine. I'm assuming you're still open. We've done a lot of Dodo's.
Dodo's is really good.
It is.
Dodo's, you should advertise with us. We work something out because you're really good.
They also deliver.
And deliver
out.
And deliver on time.
Yeah. That's true.
If you've never had Dodo's, get in touch with Dodo's and tell them you heard about it here on the podcast. That might start something up a little bit for us.
Well, you just order online. You don't actually talk to anyone.
Well, you can include a note.
Oh, okay.
There's a thing in there, special instructions. Yeah, it's on special instructions.
Instead of telling them like where your apartment is, tell them.
Well, you can tell them that too, but say, I heard about this on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Yes.
You should get in touch with Neil McCready.
Yeah.
Dodo's is really good. Their barbecue chicken.
Like that one?
Fantastic.
Okay.
The all meat is really good. It's really good.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I mentioned this to Jay just momentarily while we were talking in a minute, but Kendall Rogers on his podcast reporting that Butch Thompson told him that Keegan Thompson and Casey Mize, Auburn's top two pitchers, both experiencing some dead arm, so they could be on pitch counts this weekend. They could even be inactive this weekend for the Tigers, which for a team that's lost seven in a row, not the best news you want to hear, that the two pitchers who basically have to win their starts have anything close to a dead arm going on in your elbow or your shoulder at this time of year.
Something tells me they don't have the Vanderbilt roster of backup pitchers. I'm just guessing.
So you think their Saturday in Hoover's a little different than Vanderbilt's Saturday in Hoover?
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world for a team like Auburn, they would have wrapped this thing up by now, gone into this weekend with it really not mattering.
And sit everybody.
Yeah, and then go to Hoover and go, hey, look, who wants to beat us because we're done?
Well, see, with Ole Miss, this was a conversation on the board yesterday. If they go win, say they win tonight, then go take two of three of Auburn, and they're 34-22, 15-15.
I don't play anymore.
I don't even take my starters to Hoover.
And who'd Tuesday. You mention? Bortles and Rowe? Yeah. They don't even go.
Yeah.
They don't go. I'm totally serious. You're not hosting. I'm not going to do the two versus three argument. I'm not. But you're not hosting. You're in the tournament, but you're not hosting. There's nothing to play for in Hoover. Neil, there is too. There's an SEC championship. I get it. One team will win the championship and they'll take home a trophy. And go back through history. A lot of times those teams are toast the next week.
I mean, we always make the joke, but Ray Tanner's South Carolina teams were abysmal in Hoover and they did okay in the postseason.
You left a word out.
What's that?
They were intentionally abysmal in Hoover.
You think they threw the games?
Yes.
I mean, I don't think he pitched people that he intentionally thought would lose. He threw Nolan Belcher, God help his soul, over and over and over again.
Yes.
Nolan, really good kid, but he wasn't their best pitcher.
No. I mean, I don't think they threw the game like, hey, don't hit it. But I don't think he put any effort into winning it. And when he lost it, I think he had to suppress a smile. They wanted to get the hell out of there.
I get it's not the same players, but that created their inability to win over there. Now, the last few years when they've kind of needed to win, is that permeated through the program where it's hard to break?
Probably.
Even though that's years ago?
It was that way. You know, if you remember LSU back in the day, Skip Bertman hated that damn tournament.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'd win it in spite of him.
It was like your story. Was it Auburn and Arkansas where they were both trying to lose it? They were mad. One of them was mad when they won.
Yeah, they were mad when it was over.
It had been Hal Baird and Norm DeBrine.
Yeah. Two people who were really good friends and respected each other and both playing a late night game trying to lose it. Throwing outfielders.
When the winner walks up to after the game and goes, you son of a.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be here tomorrow. Now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Both teams completely out of pitching. Both teams were wrapped up. Their NCAA path was done. They were throwing outfielders pitching, like, hit him. Let's go. Get your runs. Let's go home. And neither team could. Outfielders were making diving stops and stuff where the coaches were like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. Get to Jay in a second. Before we do that, Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Also, ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. Contact Jason Lowe, 662-234-2704. J-Lowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Did you see this theory about Avril Lavigne being dead?
I didn't read it. I have a hard time actually opening those stories and threads when I see them. But yeah.
First tweet amassed more than 100,000 retweets. Anyway, podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry probably can't tell you whether Avril Lavigne is dead or not, but he can tell you whether you're getting a great deal on a condominium or home in or around the Oxford area. He's been doing it for more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. I don't think that Sandy Grass could tell you whether Avril Lavigne is dead or not, but She's very, very kind and very sweet. She probably would conduct the conversation with you. And then while you were at it, you could check out the complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles at Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. If you are driving a limited number of miles and you want to drive a brand new car but not pay brand new prices, you can do that too. Great lease deals at Grenada Nissan. Check them out, GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Now we'll go to Jay Tate, Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Jay, welcome into our little show here. Glad to have you. Glad to have you back with us. How you been?
It's wonderful to be here, guys. I'm good here in beautiful Montgomery, Alabama. Glad to be on the show as always.
So you started the softball coverage thing a few years ago.
You
were the first one that I noticed that was actually covering soft, not taking the press release and just throwing it up on your site, which is what we would have done in the past. You actually covered it. I made fun of you at the time. I did it to your face. I will now offer up my somewhat heartfelt apologies and say that you appear to have been on to something.
Yeah, when the team gets good, I think the people care. And if Auburn ever goes back to being a 20 and 30 team like they were before, then I won't cover it and we'll forget about it and nobody will care.
Okay, you say that. I'm going to pick that statement apart a little bit because I'm curious whether this is just – so is this what's happening at Ole Miss right now, what's happened at Auburn for a while now, at Alabama for a while? Hell, the whole damn league got in the tournament, so I guess it's happening most everywhere. Is this just fandom because some people are wearing your colors and they're winning, and so by God we're on board, or is this a bit of a sport becoming popular? Because, for example, Ole Miss has a rifle team. If you tell me the rifle team was shooting for the national championship tomorrow, I mean, I know the five or six people whose lives completely revolve around nothing but Ole Miss athletics, period, the end, nothing else, would be excited, but I don't think the masses would give a damn.
Okay, so when I went to Kentucky in the 90s, they had a very good rifle team, just like you were saying. They were national title contenders, and we would write about them, and there was some interest, and the Lexington Herald Leader did too. So that was 20-something years ago. I think if your team is really good at something, people care at least to some degree. Now, rifle is not very sexy. Kentucky was really good at cheerleading, which I don't even – we can go into that debate some other time. But, you know, they were in national championships for cheerleading, and people cared to some degree. So I think this has been going on a long time. If your team, like you said, is beating other teams a lot in a particular sport, I think people care. Auburn was really into swimming 10 or 15 years ago when they would win national titles. And I think the SEC network makes it much more accessible to see softball because, like, every game's televised now, just about, or is accessible one way or another. So, look, Ole Miss they're a good team softball-wise. 2 or 3 years ago, they were the dregs, man. They were terrible. I think they're 40-18 now, something like that. And Caitlin Lee, obviously, is a really interesting player. She's a very easy player to like. So
what is it about her that's easy to like? Just the fact that she works so fast and she's attractive and that?
All that, yeah. But, I mean, for me, it's like exuberance. You know, the pitchers at Auburn are kind of taught, and they go out and sign girls who are unemotional. That's what they want. They want pitchers that are just like robots out there. And they're cool girls. I'm just saying when they're in the circle, that's how they are. But Caitlin Lee's out there punching air, pump fists, you know, doing the whole Tiger Woods from 20 years ago thing, and I think people really magnetize to that. It's not what I would want as a coach, but it's great for her. And I think she's such a cute, good little pitcher, and she's just always freaking out and smiling and happy. I think she's great from a marketing perspective, and I think it's great for Ole Miss.
So you just started covering softball a few years ago because Auburn was winning. Nothing more than that. You weren't clairvoyant. You weren't – I'm giving you an opportunity to really really hype your forecasting skills, and you're not taking advantage of it at all.
Well, I mean, they hired a coach who was really, really good. And I could see that all of a sudden they were starting to win. You know, they were like sweeping series and stuff. And I was like, ooh, we probably need to jump on this. And this was ahead of their first trip to the NCAA tournament. And they were just kind of so-so back then. They didn't have enough pitching. But I don't know. I mean, people just kind of got on board. people started asking me about it on the board. It started that simply. Like, what's Auburn softball doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Who cares? But once you get 10 of those questions, you're like, well, maybe I should look into this. And then I look and I see they're like, you know, 25 and 10 or something. And I'm like, well, okay, we'll see what's going on. And
you know what?
From there.
You know what? I realized, and you and I talked about this a little bit before we got started, is so Sunday, Ole Miss, as you know, wins the SEC title on Saturday night, I guess, in Knoxville. And they came back on Sunday, and they get back. It's like 1:40-something or whatever in the afternoon. I'll be honest. I knew what the coach looked like because I'd seen his picture. I don't go out here. I don't know anyone. I mean, I really don't. And so I didn't – I've never met him before Sunday. And I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, and I introduce myself. And he's like, oh, yeah, hey, how you doing? And I'm so used to, like – the whole, you know what I'm talking about here. Like when you're covering other sports, it's so adversarial now as opposed to how it used to be that I was almost taken back by the whole, oh yeah, yeah, I'll be happy to talk to you. How long you want to talk? We can talk right now. I mean, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was like, it was a totally different, just approach to it. It was kind of refreshing, if you want to know the truth. I mean, because I think I know what it's like at Auburn, but with football here, it's adversarial is not the right word, but they would just assume that we never showed up.
Yeah, it's that way at Auburn. Although at Auburn, I would say it's adversarial. But, you know, I think basketball is that way for a lot of people, but you guys cover somebody who's very aware, Andy Kennedy. I cover somebody who's very aware in Bruce Pearl, so we kind of get off on that one. I mean, we get a pass because I think a lot of people are dealing with somebody like Krzyzewski at Duke, and he's a goob and difficult to deal with. So we get a break there on basketball, but you're right. That's exactly that way at Auburn for softball because Clint Myers, if I go over to practice and I have any questions for him, dude, he will take the time to tell me stuff, and he's very candid, and they love the coverage, man. And I said something to you before we started the show. When I started as a sports writer 25 years ago, that's kind of what it was like. You know, I would cover football, and I could talk to Bill Curry, and he was nice to me. I was a kid, you know, student reporter, but you could access those guys. You could talk to them. I could get people on the phone for basketball.
We used to be able to walk the halls at Auburn and get assistant coaches within reason. We were basically just asked to be cool. You know,
and we were for the most part.
I mean, it was like, hey, don't abuse this. Don't just hang out in the hall. If you need a quote, go ask. You know, hey, like I can remember Jimbo Fisher being the quarterbacks coach at Auburn, and I'm working on a story about Ben Leard or whatever, and it was, hey, can I grab you for 2 minutes? I mean, I knocked on his office door. Like, yeah, come on in. I mean, those days, man. To say those days are over, and I'm kind of cool with that, really. But I don't. I think this is this way everywhere, and I'm not sure why, really. It's really only at the college game. The NFL game's not even this way. For whatever reason, it has gotten so paranoid and corporate and you're better with words than I am. I don't know which words I would use to describe the way college football has become. It's not fun to cover anymore.
I think you're right about the paranoia, and I think it's this. The NFL guys generally are NFL guys kind of from the beginning, and they've been around that world. In our situations, particularly Ole Miss and Auburn, we've got high school guys who are clinging now to multi-million-dollar contracts that they never in their wildest dreams thought they would ever get. I mean, Gus Malzahn's making, what, $5 million a year now? I mean, he's just going to cling to that tooth and nail because he used to be some dude at Hughes High School making nothing, and he thought he would end up being at Springdale someday making – wow, I might make $100,000 someday. I think they cling to it too tightly. That's just my opinion. And then you've got guys like Andy Kennedy who make a lot of money, and they don't act like that. So, and Bruce Pearl's the same way. I don't know. Football coaches are weird. Maybe it's just the guys we happen to cover.
I don't know. You know,
I covered Chizik before that, and he was a mess. So.
Andy's a smart guy. I mean, he knows I'm not out to get Andy Kennedy, and there's nothing I can do to save Andy Kennedy's job either. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, the school didn't roll over his contract. They've essentially issued an ultimatum of sorts going into next season. It's NCAA tournament or bust. Well, you know this, Jay. I'm not going to play any role in whether Ole Miss does or does not make the NCAA tournament next year any more than you're going to play a role in whether Auburn does or does not make the NCAA tournament. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I'm always reminded of what Ray Melick said. You know, when you're winning, there's he used to tell coaches when they get all paranoid. So I guess paranoia has gone on a long time. He used to tell them, hey, if you're winning, there's not much I can do to hurt you. And if you're losing, there's not much I can do to help you. And that's always kind of been my philosophy. And with AK, that works really well. It's one of the reasons I think he and I get along, even though we've had our moments in the past. He knows I'm not out to get him. And B, there's nothing I can do to really help him.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I don't really say that to Bruce, but he knows it. I mean, he's on ESPN all the time and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you can't – if Auburn goes 18 games? They go 5-13 in the league. I mean, you're not going to get on the board and go, hey, he's doing a great job, guys. You can't do that. So, you can put things in perspective, which I try to do in every sport, but with football, it's just this deal of it's totally here at least, and I think it's there too, and it's this way at Alabama, it's this way at a lot of schools. If you're not all the way in, you're out.
Sounds like Ricky Bobby.
It's true.
But getting back to softball, it sure is fun to cover, dude. I know the subscribers don't care. They just want to see Auburn win or Ole Miss win, but it's fun for me to cover because it reminds me of the old days because I'm wanted there. I'm not a problem. Jay.
I'm just kind of curious. Two things. First, you say if they go 10-30 next year, you'll stop covering it. Is there any sustainability to recovery at all? Or is it, hey, one season and this thing all drops off and it happened to win again, it's right back? I mean, does there have any ability to have a carryover interest into a bad season? Because clearly if the men's basketball team has one losing season or even the baseball team or the football team, whenever, people are still invested. So has Auburn won enough in softball to have a bad year and people still care?
I think this is a bad year. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, they go into the NCAA tournament as the number 7 national seed. But if you watch this team, they're kind of stinky. I don't know. They're not as good as they should be. If they had a terrible – I just don't think they're capable of having a terrible year, like I was referencing earlier, where they win 10 or 12 games. I just don't see that ever happening. But not with this coaching staff. But I don't know. I guess one year maybe. But I would probably tail off if they lost like 5 series in a row or something. I might tail off the coverage. But they don't do that. Not with this coaching staff. And I think the SEC is kind of frostproof in the sense that there's just – dude, the last place team in the league that was not very good got in the NCAA tournament. The whole league got in the tournament.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss goes into the SEC tournament ranked, I mean, as far as in the hierarchy of the SEC, maybe 8th, 7th, and they win the damn thing because Caitlin Lee just kind of was out of her mind for the whole tournament. I mean, that's interesting to me. We talk about parity, and we have for 20, 30, 40 years. But, I mean, softball and the SEC, it's crazy, dude. The worst placed team is actually pretty decent.
Neil and I discussed this yesterday, and I really do not mean looks by this. I mean just their speed game, the way Ole Miss, because I know nothing about softball, but the way they play is kind of aesthetically pleasing to me. It's kind of fun to watch and whatever. And Neil and I had this debate. Because it's a little bit of a different game, it's not just more of a kind of a watered-down version of the other game, is softball capable of overtaking women's basketball as that fourth sport?
Probably not. I just don't know if it'll ever get that much coverage. But for me, it is. I mean, I don't cover Auburn women's basketball very much at all, and they got in the NCAA tournament this year, barely. I don't know how they did it, but I don't know. There's just not that much interest. If I write about women's basketball, I just don't get much. But with softball, we do get good traffic off it. And I think it goes back to the fact that these girls are attractive and they're just kind of playing a game that we all played and understand. And I don't know, maybe it's the time of year. It's getting warmer. We like getting outside. I don't know. But I think it's silly to ignore the fact that, like in your case at Ole Miss, Caitlin Lee is such a cute, interesting person. I think that's significant.
I do too. I mean, I think when people act like it, that's not part of it, it's like, come on.
I mean, because a lot of the guys on my board are just like, oh, I want to see, you know, there's a girl who plays at Auburn named Sydney Waldrop, and she doesn't play hardly at all. She's a pinch runner, but she's really cute, and they're always asking me about Sydney Waldrop, and I'm like, you know, I won't say much about her until she takes her first at-bat, of the season here in the 50th game. But they, dude, if she's cute, they want to know about them. And I mean, it's not really the way I look at them. I try to cover them like players, and that's the way I treat them. And that's the way it's kind of like the oath I take as a sports writer. I don't really sit around and say, oh gosh, this girl's hot or whatever. Also, I'm old, but I mean, it's silly to ignore the fact that, yeah, these are cute girls playing a fun, quick game.
She was the girl that kind of became a little internet sensation last year, right?
Who's this?
Waldrop.
Well, yeah. She's very popular because she's cute, and you know, it's great. But she doesn't play very much at all. I have never actually seen her play, and I've probably covered 50 games. Wow, more than that now. People just think she's cute. Auburn has a bunch of girls like that. The coach likes quick girls. He likes athletic quick girls, and so Auburn's got a bunch of those.
Ole
Miss comes there for baseball this weekend. Appears to be a pretty big series for both teams. For Auburn, they were cruising for a while, and now they're not cruising anymore.
Yeah, they fell off a cliff, man. Good golly. I think they've lost 7 or 8 in a row, and they need to get off the schneid quickly, or they're going to play themselves out of the NCAA tournament. It's hard to believe, considering they were in the top 5 of the BA poll maybe 3 weeks ago.
I know,
and they got swept at home by Alabama, which blows my mind. Alabama's no good.
No, they suck.
And they go to LSU and they get trounced. And now, I mean, if they don't do something against Ole Miss this weekend, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to them. They're doing two-a-days now to try to get themselves out of this funk. I don't really understand that, but.
And it looks like there's bad news coming, because I saw Kendall Rogers say earlier in the week, maybe you did too, I don't know, but he mentioned, or Brian, whatever, that Casey Mize and Keegan Thompson both maybe have dead arm as well. Probably not what you want to hear going into the weekend.
No. And, you know, Butch has been careful with those guys. It wasn't like the last coach who just ran Keegan out there and had him throwing 150 pitches every time. I feel like Butch is an aware guy when it comes to pitchers, and he's just kind of had some bad luck with Mize and Keegan this year. And if those guys slow down at all, they're out of it. I don't think they're going to make the NCAA tournament if that happens. And it's not like Ole Miss is terrible. Ole Miss is a pretty good team. And if you take all the teams in the West and you line them up 1 through 9, Auburn has the least talented group in the entire West. I have no doubt about it. And what they were doing earlier is they were overachieving because a coach in Butch Thompson can go out there and take a ragtag bunch of dudes and turn it into a team. Auburn doesn't have a lot of talent. Their leadoff hitter is really good, and they have two really good pitchers. But like you mentioned, if those two guys are out, ain't much left.
We'd get in trouble if we didn't mention football.
Of course.
I kind of think this may be Auburn's year. Is that right? I mean, this is the year that they finally, I guess, first time since, I want to say since Cam, but they've won it once since then, that they kind of make a run at Alabama.
Yeah, that's what it always comes down to, isn't it? But I've been tricked and swindled by this program more than once. They've definitely taken a huge step forward at quarterback, which is what they needed to do. That was their number one thing, and I think they've got a really, really good one in Jarrett Stidham.
What did you think of him in the spring? What did he do?
Well, you know, they hit him in the A-Day game, which is what they did with Cam his year, but in the spring, and I don't get to see hardly anything at practice, so I've got to rely on my guys that go in there and see him practice, but the dude never stops working. He acts like an NFL guy because he's in there like right now, today. He was probably in the indoor at like 7 or 8 o'clock, and he's ready to throw. And he's like, you better show up and throw with me because I'm going to be here every day, and that's the only way we're going to be good. I mean, he's got that NFL mentality. And he's a kid that, like, he feels like he's on his last leg here. Now, he left Baylor on his own volition. He just felt like with Bart Briles leaving, he didn't want to be there anymore. So he went to JUCO, didn't play. He was just kind of there to pick a new school, got to Auburn, and he's acting like a kid who's on his very last stop, like this is the last chance I have. I don't necessarily think that's true, but that's the way he's approaching it. And so his work ethic is just crazy, and I think he's really good. He's not really a runner, although he can run some, but I think they're adding this quick passing game, and I think he's perfect for it. And assuming it all works the way that I think it will, they're going to score a lot more points this year. The thing is, defensively, I think they're going to take at least half a step back. I think their defensive line is going to take a step back, and that was a big, big part of why they were good last year. So it's kind of, you know, it's a full step forward, a half step back. We'll see what happens. But If you've got a really good quarterback, that makes a big, big difference.
What's the, in terms of sentiment, a year ago people were pretty down on Gus Malzahn. He goes to the Sugar Bowl, they lose. I know getting to the Sugar Bowl isn't what getting to the Sugar Bowl used to be, but it was a Access Bowl and all that stuff. Are people, do you have more slack going into this season, or are people still pretty up in arms if it doesn't go really well?
Up in arms if it doesn't go well. I would definitely say that. I feel like people are getting tired of Gus. And even though people are stoked about Jarrett Stidham and that whole thing, I think he's on a short leash. That's just my opinion. Now, the administration, I think they like him more than most people do. And hell, they just gave him an extension last year, and I could not believe it when I found out they had done that. I was like, really? Because I don't think he's doing necessarily that much. But they're all gearing up for a really big year this year, and I think he's going to come through. I think they're going to be good. I don't know how good.
Well, if I don't see you before SEC Media Days, I look forward to seeing you then. Hopefully, hopefully we'll visit at some point between now and then.
I hope so. Yeah, gosh, that's a long time from now.
I know. I'm not going to be at the five-star challenge-y thing. So.
Yeah, not doing that this year.
No.
For various reasons. But listen, man, I'm going to be in the Dominican Republic in June. You're welcome to come if you and Laura want to go.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. What are you doing in the Dominican?
What am I doing in the Dominican Republic? Well, I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink.
Okay.
And I'm going to hang out. That's cool. What I'm going to do with a bunch of my friends.
If you see anybody who could lead off for the Cubs, that would be good.
I'm not really worried about the Cubs.
Yeah, well, you need to get your priorities straight, Jay. I'll tell you that.
Chase, it was good talking to you, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it, Jay.
You'd be good.
All right, Jay Bird. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Our thanks to Jay Tate for joining us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets still on sale, OleMissTix.com, OleMissTix.com. Softball's this weekend, Friday night. Ole Miss plays at 8:30. If the Rebels win, they play at 1:30 on Saturday. If they lose, I don't know, sometime earlier than that. We'll figure it out.
Probably 11. Probably 10:30 or 11.
Something like that.
But that will probably be Southern Illinois and whoever loses the other game.
That would be my guess.
Yes.
Otherwise, there will be quite... How long would it take to get the fire Mike Smith thread going on the board if he loses Southern Illinois?
Well, getting the big pyramid probably gives you a little more time. I don't understand the pyramid, by the way, but anyway.
I don't either. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't get it at all. It's bizarre.
That the trophy's a pyramid?
Yeah, the basketball trophy. Is the football trophy a pyramid?
Well, now, a couple of the sports, do they still have the pyramid? It's only for tournaments. It's every tournament, right? Because the regular season trophies are like have whatever the
wood,
is,
yeah,
have the teams the on
wood.
Both sides,
yeah.
Look kind of like the Magnolia Bowl.
I teed you up. I didn't know if you'd swing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So anyway, 8:30 Friday night, and then. Probably 1:30 Saturday, and I saw the Sunday schedule a minute ago, but for the life of me, I don't remember it. It's that afternoon. They play, you have an if necessary game that's like at 5, and the first game's like at 1:30 or something on Sunday. But okay. Anyway, OleMissTix.com.
All right. Woodshop 101. Podcast brought to you.
You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm gonna get this wood, and I'm going to kind of burn it. Because nothing.
Oh, now you're doing it now.
It says magnolia like burnt wood.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas. Founded on two simple philosophies. Do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it. And have open and honest communication with customers and employees. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf installation. Even do holiday lighting for your yard during the season. Yard not up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote. 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. annual contract, first cut on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Next month, OUB will play host to the OUB two-man scramble. Last year, that raised more than $37,000 to fund scholarships for students from both Oxford and Lafayette high schools. Think of how many kids went straight from shop to college thanks to OUB. Check out their consumer and commercial loans needs. OUB can tailor consumer and commercial loans to fit their customers' specific needs. The loan officer you speak with at OUB, almost always making 100% of the loan decision, isn't having to send the loan to some underwriter in another town that knows very little about the transaction and nothing about the customer. Check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Did you see the Kelly Olynyk show last night?
I saw the highlights. I saw Twitter during it. I mean,
Kelly Olynyk goes nuts.
I couldn't have told you who he was before.
You wouldn't have recognized the guy from Gonzaga?
No.
Really?
No. Adam Morrison. Recognize him.
Kelly Olynyk made some coin last night.
The big forward on this year's team, I'd recognize him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Him and Collins.
They had a nice little run of players. Sabonis, Olynyk. Gonzaga's had a little NBA pipeline going.
Yeah.
The cat that went to Kentucky first.
Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Wiltshire. Yeah, Cal ran him off.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough.
Still the most passive-aggressive thing. When Calipari's in the pavilion that night, you weren't there. And he's like, you know, I mean, they even recruited that kid from Oak Hill. I mean, we might have even recruited him. It's like, really, Cal? Thanks. It's like, I know you're trying to give AK a compliment here, but not helping.
And then all the people that were like, see, he's really good. It's like, well, that's not kind of, not exactly, never mind.
Cal thought he was being polite. I did finally catch his 30 for 30, and oh my God, what a promo was that. It was good, it was fine, but pom-poms, pom-poms.
ESPN loves pom-poms. Them some Kentucky basketball. I know this will shock you. All the top players are going to Kentucky and Duke.
Mm-hmm. Where'd the kid from Pitt end up going?
I don't know that he's made his mind up yet.
Is he still not?
I'm not sure.
Okay. He phrased on a teleconference yesterday. Anything of note? It is linked on the message board. You can read it in its entirety there.
And I'll transcribe it at some point and write it. Not really. You know how those teleconferences are, Chase. People are on there doing. There was a lot about the new rules, the new signing period. He's for the new signing period. He's would have preferred that everything just stay the way it was. He and all of his colleagues against the April official visits.
Yeah, of course.
They don't have that semester, the sixth high school semester in yet. Don't really know the kids yet. Freeze was basically like, they all basically had the same opinion of everything, all the coaches.
It's almost like they got in a room together and figured it out.
It's almost like they were talking points.
Yeah.
They're all generally like the new signing period. The fact that you can sign early, like one guy says, I can't remember which coach, Kevin Sumlin maybe, I don't know. I listened to all of them, believe it or not. And they all basically said, you'll find out whether they're really committed to you or not.
Well, that's true.
And that's good. They didn't really, because coaches are not going to talk about, hey, people might take jobs.
Yeah.
No one talked about, well, what happens if. There's a lot of talk about Riley Williams' injury.
I saw some fans talking about that. He was committed to Ole Miss. That question was completely fine.
But they asked it of multiple coaches.
But had they not, Freeze had the biggest relationship with him, not named
right.
Brett Bielema.
They asked Barry Odom about it.
You forget he's even in the league, don't you?
Yeah. Well, he's so far east, he just can't keep up.
Going to the beach, seaboard.
Yeah, people got upset about the Freeze being asked about Riley Williams thing. When I was listening at the time, it didn't faze me. It was that. It was the It was another big topic that they were asking about. I can't remember. It was national people kind of doing national stuff.
Bob Holt on yesterday?
Bob was on.
He asked questions?
He asked about Raleigh.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He asked lots of questions.
Hey, Bob.
He asked Freeze about the new coordinators. The one interesting thing was Freeze. It's not interesting to us because I think we generally believe this. Freeze made the comment that the offense will basically be the same.
Yeah.
And in fairness to Hugh Freeze, for people who say that I never say anything nice, their offense wasn't the problem last year. Or for that matter, the year before. It was their defense.
So.
And he talked about his defense. He likes his defensive line. And he stopped there. Still worried about linebacker. Still worried about safety.
I give Mike Bianco credit yesterday because I'm writing this Dallas Wolfolk story. And during his interview session, he didn't know it was coming. I said, so you have to pick one. Scott Biddle, Jake Morgan, or Dallas Wolfolk, go. He actually answered the question.
No.
Most coaches wouldn't do that.
Oh, I like them all. I could never.
Well, he kind of moved around it in this way. He goes. You asked me a question earlier about what all these guys have had in common. He said they do things in such different ways that in some ways it does take on a, hey, what do I need? What the situation is? He goes, you have to have that caveat because, I mean, we all kind of laughed about it. I mean, Scott Biddle came in the fifth inning. The game was over. He wasn't coming out, and that was it. It's done. You know, Morgan can be extended a little bit. Wolfolk's kind of a 3-6 out guy. He can't do what Biddle does. However, he said if he had to get three outs, he would choose Dallas Wolfolk over the other guys. Maybe it's because he's on his team currently, but he gave an answer. Normally, you don't get an answer there.
No, normally you don't. Now, if you're going to give an answer, you go with the current guy.
Yeah, you don't let Wolfolk read something the next day. You go, well, Mike said Biddle was much better.
Well, I wish we had Biddle right now. I really do. Be much better than the cat we got.
Kind of fell on my part. I forgot to include Stephen Head in the conversation. Sorry, three times.
Yeah.
It's only the
Stephen wasn't the closer that Biddle was, for example. He was really good.
He was consistent, steady. He wasn't as dominant.
Yeah.
The other three were more dominant.
Stephen was dominant as a college player because of his ability to also
start, hit.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Do lots of stuff.
Yeah. But he does hold the saves record for a season. So, last thing here, University of Missouri to cut 400 positions at the Columbia campus.
Oh, it's such a blow to journalism.
Godfrey's tweet yesterday, did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
I got to get this exactly right. Sorry, pardon me for a second. And many of you guys won't get it because you're not inundated with Missouri grads having to deal with their pompous nature from a journalism standpoint. Godfrey yesterday says, I think he's quote tweeting maybe the tweet about that. Where is it? I saw it earlier. Yeah, breaking. This is from somebody. Mizzou likely to cut hundreds of positions amid expected 7% enrollment drop. 7% enrollment drop, by the way. Godfrey quote tweets it, that could create a record low amount of future 24-year-olds trying to tell me where they went to J school. So, there's that. Missouri let the administration let that thing run amok, and it's almost impossible to fix. It has effects. There's carryover there, so.
Yeah.
400 positions.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Were you proud of me? I avoided there was a thread on the message board about it's about journalism and stuff and about journalism schools. And
I didn't see it.
Apparently, your brother posted in it quite a bit about.
Did he?
They were taught in journalism ethics that sports writing wasn't real journalism.
Yeah.
I was amused that a professor.
I think I know who he's referring to, and I actually really, really like her. But
it's a hot take from a professor who's not in journalism.
Yeah.
Who is and who isn't a journalist.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Maybe they'll teach a podcast class. The podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael Oswalt a call. He is a realtor that specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Check out gotland.com, got-land.com. The land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, your home with acreage, now is the time. Give Michael Oswalt a call today. He's ready to meet with you and explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. Give him a call on his cell, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
I don't really know what happened here, so I'm going to kind of stay away from the full story, but a little bit of news at least, because they have such a prominent part of the community, different things, because of players involved and obviously because they keep winning. Oxford High School opening the state championships against Pearl River Central, who has an Ole Miss commit, Hayden Dunhurst, by the way, at catcher. Oxford has suspended every assistant coach on the baseball program because of an incident following Saturday night's win over New Hope at New Hope to win the North State title. The bus with the team stopped in front of a sign leaving the New Hope campus. Got out, took some pictures. Some New Hope people basically hemmed the bus in, wouldn't allow it to leave for a few minutes. Ended up kind of going over the curb, getting out of there eventually. New Hope claiming there was vandalism done. I've seen no evidence of that, or at least that it was done by Oxford. So staying away from that part. But
the head coach was not with the team.
Chris Baltman was not with the team. He was not on the bus. So he is still coaching. And he is being assisted by Bradley Roberson, who's now a principal and the former baseball coach, and Chris Cutcliffe, the head football coach, also assisting Chris in the state finals in Pearl. So a little bit of a deal there. But anyway.
When is the state championship?
Start tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, I think it starts tonight, Pearl River Central and Oxford. So anyway, there's that.
Someone says New Hope is one of those teams that's kind of chirpy.
They're incredibly chirpy. Yeah, we played them a lot even back then in Legion Ball and stuff. And yeah, they were good. They're good, really, really good. But they get under your skin.
I don't like chirpy.
I was on New Hope's mound when I tore my elbow up, having to get time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So good place.
Well, you got what you deserve, New Hope.
Right. All these years later, karma. Hashtag Jim.
Hashtag karma. Yeah. I don't like chirpy.
Yeah. Oh, they're,
shut
they're,
up and play.
They are the New Hope is the Vanderbilt equivalent of a high school baseball team.
Oh God, the calisthenics too?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, because I hate that crap.
You're getting more and more okay with stopping in front of the sign all of a sudden, aren't you?
By the minute, I'm not into the taunting and the talking. Just play.
Is this the equivalent of, like, you know, everybody raised Cain when the Saints or whoever would take the pictures on the field when they won road games back in the day, a few years ago?
Yeah.
Is this the equivalent of that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, look.
It was really dumb judgment on Oxford's part.
The assistant coaches were dumb. No offense, fellas, if you're listening. We all make mistakes. You made one. You should have never stopped the bus. Just get out.
But if no vandalism occurred, let's all move on with our day.
Oh, sure. I mean, if this is the worst thing that happens in society today, then we're having a really good day. But The lesson, if you're out there and you're going to be a coach one day, is once everybody's on the bus and you close the door,
the bus is going back to town.
Get moving. I remember a high school game. I can't remember if it was JV or varsity. I want to say it was varsity. We played somewhere, and we got on the bus. We were told, get down, stay down.
We're not stopping at the Burger King in this town on the way out.
Get down, stay down, and shut up. And we'd won.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And we got out of there, and we were told, it's okay to get up now.
Yeah. Move on.
You can talk now.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate Jay for joining us today. Again, we'll have some more guests throughout the week on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. And, check RebelGrove.com again. Some baseball, some different stuff coming to you as the week moves on. Talk to you on Wednesday.